Let's get corrupted. What is going on, everybody? It's your boy Joe with Meteoric Serpents coming back at you for another episode of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast. Guys, what is going on? I hope you're all doing super well. It's, you know, just the end of the year, the end of 2024. And really, just what I wanted to do is just have a fun little interactive solo episode to cap off the year, talk about, you know, some of the things that went on this year, both personally and with the podcast and all of that, get some feedback from you guys, hang out and chat with the people in the chat. And I see some people there already, so that's awesome. And yeah, kind of just go through all of that. Tonight's just going to be fun little freestyle. I have some topics I wanted to talk about as well, kind of just, again, just recapping the year, but hopefully it's going to be a fun one. So I hope you guys all enjoy. As usual, guys, the Meteoric Serpents t-shirts, I do have those available, both the logo t-shirts and the Let's Get Corrupted, the podcast t-shirts. I have those on hand. If anyone is interested in either of those, they're of great material made by For Real 3D, my buddy Paul. They're fantastic. So if you're interested in one of those, let me know. I'd be happy to put one in your hands. And then, guys, if you're tuning into this live, whether it's live or, you know, the recording, the replay, make sure you hit that like button on today's podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube for sure. We're trying to build those subscribers on here, trying to build more of an audience. So it's super cool to see more subscribers trickle in over the weeks. Lets me know people are listening. So super, super cool. You can also listen to this podcast on all the major audio platforms like Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music as well. So yeah, all of that's good. Go listen to it wherever you please. I have some statistics about that as well, which is kind of cool. I brought that to the table since it's the end of the year. Wanted to show you all, or, you know, you guys know who you are, but show you who like the audience is and where people are listening and all that good stuff. But yeah, and then also, as you can see right down here below, I'm pretty much at Meteoric Serpents on all social media platforms. If you don't follow me, you should give me a follow for sure. I'm even on TikTok too, though I don't post a whole lot on there. But yeah, that's all good. Yeah, follow me on Instagram. You'll get more of, you know, what's going on here. You'll get announcements about the episodes and whatnot, and, you know, some pictures and videos of the collection and all that good stuff. So yeah, also, guys, make sure you are supporting USARC and USARC Florida. Those are the organizations that fight for our rights to keep our reptiles. You know, whether you're just a hobbyist or, you know, you breed this, you breed animals for business, whatever it may be, you should at least show at least some support. Especially we're seeing new legislation get passed as we speak with stuff like the people didn't see like the blue tree monitors. So super important. If you guys want the species we keep to stay safe, USARC is going to be the ones who are fighting for us. So yeah. Also, first link in the description below takes you to the Meteoric Serpents Patreon, which is going to give you guys a whole load of behind the scenes content. What's going on here in my collection? I have, you know, it's a Discord chat, group chat. Get to talk a little bit more, just a bunch of people who are interested in colubrids. I think it's a great way to build a community of people who, you know, love these animals. And it also supports me. It helps me make the show bigger and better. And that's all I want to do for you guys is make this show as good as I could possibly make it and bring it to you on a consistent basis. That's always been the goal. So yeah. Also, guys, we are sponsored by the Show Me Reptiles show down in that corner, as you can see. You know, they're the ones who put on Colubrid Fest for us last year and will be in 2025 again. So super excited for that. But yeah, make sure you support those who support us. Show Me Reptiles, they do they do reptile shows all over the country. So whether you're a vendor or an attendee, go check out one of their shows that's local. And yeah, support them there. You could also check out the Show Me Marketplace. That's another way for you to buy and sell your animals. So yeah, I have all of those links in the description as well. And we have, before we say what's up to the chat, because I see a bunch of you in there and I don't want to miss out on saying what's up, Kluber Corruption of the Week. And I know I've highlighted this person a bunch of times, but this is too good of a picture to not share. We got friends of the show, Chris Montross, some Glades County Everglades rats. I mean, they're just too cool, man. I really like Everglades rat snakes. Them and some of Chris's yellows are just super cool to me. And look at this little... Oh, it's actually four of them. I actually thought I only saw three, but I just saw that fourth head there. The het for Amels. So, yeah, if you're listening to this, watching this, go follow Chris on social media. He's been on the show before, actually a couple times. And we'll definitely have him back at some point. But yeah, Chris has got a boatload of locality North American rat snakes and water snakes and all that good stuff. Also, guys, if you want to be featured, I do this once a week. Put hashtag Kluber Corruption on your Kluber photos, and I choose a photo at random per week. A photo that I like, and that gets highlighted. You get a little shout out and all that good stuff. I know people have been appreciating that because a couple people were surprised by their shout outs, but they're sharing good pictures, so that's why I chose them. So, yeah, that's what's up. Before we get into everything tonight, yeah, just want to say what's up to the chat. Krista from Neurofy Exotics, what's up? Yes, it was good to hang out last night. Me and some of the V-Unit members, I'm repping Villarino right now, got some dinner down here in Florida, so that was cool. And yeah, Jason Keller, what's up, man? Good to see you in here. Adam from Ivory Kluber Co., one of the Patreon members, the OG Patreon member. It's good to see you here, bud. We got Chris, former guest of the show as well. What's up, man? Good to see you. MJ, happy new year, my dog. And thank you. Yes, that's what I want to talk about today. Just this whole year in general. It's been a great year, a full year, full calendar year of corruption in 2024. A couple missed weeks here and there, but just really excited to be putting this show out for you guys almost weekly. Just super fun. I didn't read the details about this too in depth, and I probably should have just to be a little more educated. If I spoke about it, but they just made it to some kind of like endangered species list. I'm so sorry. I don't know the correct terminology for this. But there were a bunch of posts made about it on social media in the last couple of days. At this current time, I believe you cannot transport or like sell them across state lines or something to that extent. That kind of sucks. And my buddy Kevin, the original Kluber Corruption guest, the OG, had to bring my buddy on for episode number one. Oh, and there's that. Yeah, they can't be imported anymore. Yeah. So there's that. All right. So... chat, everyone who's here, thank you so much. I really wanted to start off this episode, and I know I did it with the 1,000 subscribers little solo episode I did, but first and foremost, I really just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for leaving positive comments when you do. Thank you for sending me a message when you enjoy an episode and, you know, just show your support in any way possible. I see the likes. Unfortunately, I can't see on YouTube who's actually liking the show, but everyone who does on a consistent weekly basis, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And honestly, if it weren't for people watching the show, I don't know if I'd have the confidence to do this regularly the way I am. This is like my Sunday night little like fun time before we get back into the swing of things of the work week. But if I didn't have the support and the amount of people watching, and because, you know, I look at the numbers and I wanted to talk about some of the podcast numbers today, you know, and if I didn't see this amount of attention, I probably would have given up on doing this a while ago. But that's not the case. And I get so much positive feedback that you guys keep me motivated all the time. to keep doing this show and putting out great content for you guys. And I feel like we have done a consistent job of that. I've been really trying to bring on great guests, trying to ask intricate questions, stuff you wouldn't hear every day, stuff you don't hear, you know, you can't find on the internet, you know, just general things. And I love doing that. I love being able to have this information out there. It's a great resource for people who are trying to learn about the specific species being talked about. And yeah, all that good stuff. So overall, again, it's just a huge, huge thank you to absolutely everyone who watches and listens, whether it's in silence or, you know, you show your support vocally. I really do appreciate you. But what I did want to say, well, actually, no, I'm going to push that for later. I did want to talk about 2024, just on a personal side for me as a keeper, and chat, please feel free to throw whatever in there you may have. This is supposed to be kind of like a, you know, just an interaction episode. I want to talk to you guys. If you have questions or you want to jump in and say something, please feel free to do so. You know, I'll be throwing chats up all night and all that good stuff. But some highlights for 2024 for me personally. I acquired, you know, some new snakes. Some new stuff has come in throughout the year. Some stuff I'm really excited about. You know, I've talked about them extensively, but the rhino rat snakes were like a big highlight of stuff this year. And I'm just so excited to have those animals in my collection. Nothing beats them. You know, I always say the Texas rats are like my first love. They have my heart, but the rhinos, they're just something else, man. I don't know what it is. You know, they're relatively simple. They're simple animals. They don't do anything too crazy. They love food, that's for sure. Mine are doing, you know, they're so healthy and they're just doing so well. They take whatever I put in front of their mouths. But they're just cool, man. I don't know. It's something about them. They're a little bit different. You know, they have that arboreal snake feel. I'd call them semi arboreal, but like you see, I give them the like tub perching systems because I do keep them in tubs at the moment, but it's so cool to see them actually use the perches, whether it's sitting on top of them, whether it's kind of like wrapped around them, like in a real perching manner. Yeah, so that's just super cool to see. I like seeing that behavior. So yeah, they're just awesome snakes. You know, some other highlights, and you know, obviously this is a Colubrid podcast, but I did talk about it on here. I had some really cool ball pythons. I had some really cool ones, like a hypopuzzle, which is a double recessive animal. And I know some of you colubrid people, especially like corn snake people, may be thinking, oh, a double recessive, that's no big deal. I mean, you know, corn snakes, there's like quads and quintuple visual recessives out there, and that's all well and good. But with the ball pythons, with them giving like smaller clutches, and all that stuff, it almost seems like the odds are harder. Well, they are harder because you're getting less eggs per clutch. But it's super cool because I hit that on a double het to double het. So those like 1 in 16 odds hit real nice on that one was either a 7 or 8 egg clutch. So yeah, super cool stuff, and hit a bunch of other nice babies, some of which I have for sale. So a couple that I'm keeping, which includes that hypopuzzle animal. Then there was also Texas rats. You know, and I'll admit this, I regret not holding back extra animals from this year, and I should have. I sold them, which is nice. You know, obviously financially, you know, these snakes cost money. It costs money to feed. I got some new stuff this year, so it's always nice to repay myself back into the collection and put it back into the collection. But I do regret not keeping a couple extra snakes, because that's something I should have done, especially like the better ones. I sold like a male scaleless double het super quickly. And looking back on that, I probably should have kept that male back because I could have used an extra male. But yeah, you know, stuff happens, and that's why you learn. I'd still call myself, I wouldn't call myself a beginner in the hobby, but I'm definitely no seasoned vet. I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means, but these are things you learn with time. And now I have to learn the hard way that I should have kept more animals for myself. But that's what we'll do now. And I've had plenty of episodes of people, you know, that keeping back your best animals is the best motto. And I did that on the ball python side, but I didn't. I should have trusted my gut too on the Texas rat side. I took my bag when I could. And that's something I do regret. Now, some lowlights of 2024. I would say my season on the Texas rats was not the best. Had some things happen. I had a couple animals pass on me, which is unfortunate. So my second clutch, which was a repeat of last year, Scalus anery hetleucistic to a Scalus leucistic. My female was like egg bound for a day when she was laying. It took her a while to get the last egg out, and it seems like she has not still fully recovered from that. Feel like she hasn't put on a lot of fat. I'm really trying to like beef her up. I'm not breeding her this year. I can tell you that for a fact. Like, she's getting a break. That animal went 2 years back to back. She did her job for me, so I'm holding back on that. And that said, I don't even know if I'm gonna have more than two animals ready to breed. And in fact, it might only be one female at this point. So that said, that's part of why I regret not holding back more animals. And I would have had a nice little army if I kept back some more. So if there's any lesson you guys can take from that, is keep some extra animals back. Don't be so quick to sell all your good stuff if you don't need to, if you're not, you know. And there shouldn't be a point in this hobby where you're like, quote unquote, desperate for money. If you are, you put yourself in that place like the damage was done already. And I didn't need it. I didn't need to sell those animals, but I still did. So those are my regrets of this past year. Also, some lowlights. It's more so a comical one. I still haven't been able to get these cocci to produce for me. I have one of the females that's looking a little bit swollen. She looks a little thick. I've been pairing the males still, and I haven't seen any visual locks in a while, though I know they're quite secretive, and I know I could totally be missing those, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with missing those if he's getting the job done. And worst comes to worst, I do actually have another male I've been raising up for a while. You know, I've told you guys I purchased that trio from Matt. It was a proven breeder trio. Then I don't know if I said this, but I lost a cocci out of nowhere. My original female, she unfortunately passed on me earlier this year as well, just out of nowhere. This stuff, you know, it sucks. I've also learned the more animals you keep, the more loss you're going to see. And I unfortunately saw a little bit of that this year. But that's okay. We'll move on. We learn from our mistakes and we keep it going. But yeah, so there's that. No action quite yet on the bamboo rats, the cocci, though I would love to. When I do get those breeding and I get a viable clutch, I will be very, very happy and excited for that. And yeah, hopefully that incubation goes smooth and we can have ourselves some baby bamboo rat snakes. That'll be a lot of fun for sure. On top of that, just like collection-wise, I really just have a lot of stuff growing up. I would say my collection of adults isn't too vast. There's a lot of stuff growing up, a lot of cool projects here that are in the works. So that is what I have to look forward for in the future. And you know, like I was saying, it's nothing that's ready quite yet. Most of this stuff is going to take another couple years to mature at the very least, but, some great, great things to look forward to. Some great things to look forward to on the ball python side as well. So I'm just super, super excited about that. Now, all right, so that was kind of my recap of like personal 2024 collection stuff. Now, the podcast. So As I said on my Instagram post, if you guys saw that when I would, you know, when I announced this episode, most of the podcast has been in the year 2024. And just looking back, only the first eight episodes. Yep, the first eight episodes were in 2023. So episodes 9 through 49 have been here in 2024. So it's the bulk of it. And there was so much good stuff, guys. I could definitely say I swung for the fences on getting some of the guests I got. And I was lucky enough to get all the ones I did. A lot of really good people, a lot of really good keepers who do good stuff with their animals. Super knowledgeable as well. And yeah, it, you know, I wanted to almost skim through and like point people out individually, but it's so hard to do that with like 40 episodes. 40 episodes this calendar year. That's just crazy to me. But there were some real highlights for sure. If you guys go through, if you haven't listened to everything, I really recommend you do. It's also a fun way to see me progress as a quote unquote podcaster. Because, you know, I've always said, like, the first couple episodes, I was so nervous, man, and I had no expectation of anything. But as the time went on, I obviously got a little more comfortable and a little more comfortable. And I think if you look back at those episodes, you could really see my growth of, like, doing this and just how excited I am about this and trying to ask the right questions, too, and trying to really get some good information from these, you know, keepers and breeders, because that's the goal. I just want to get more knowledge for you guys and get the most out of the episodes and make the most of the guest time, because I'm very conscious of that as well. But like I said, I mean, and you know, everyone who's been on the podcast are a bunch of really good people. I haven't had a single bad experience on this podcast yet. I could say that for sure, like absolute sure. All really good people and are all people I would personally buy animals from. So take that as you will. You know, if there are any species you heard about this year that you might be interested in that a breeder keeps that you listen to on this podcast, I would full-fledged recommend them. As someone you could buy from. And I mean that sincerely. Some of the things I wanted to go through today and kind of hear some feedback from you guys. I want to know exactly what you guys want to hear more of in 2025. Now, you could drop this in the live chat and we could discuss it right now. You could leave a comment on this. Afterwards, you can send me a message on Instagram. I really want to hear feedback of what species, what breeders, what like anything that you may want to hear in the coming year. I know there's definitely some episodes I need to do and some species people want to hear. My buddy Emilio really wants a dry market episode, and I know, bud, I'm gonna try to figure out one soon. Emilio is very, very passionate about his newfound love of blacktail and yellowtail Cribos, and I give him all the props in the world for that. But yeah. Oh, Kevin got some tricolor hog eggs to pip. Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. But yeah, so I really just want to hear that feedback. And then I also want to hear from you guys genuinely what topics do you think I'm missing? If there's any like gaps in my line of questioning of stuff that should be like a staple every episode, you know, for each species, if there's something I'm missing, I've been diligent about trying to go through everything when it comes to care, you know, all that general husbandry stuff, breeding, brumation if needed, incubation as well. So I really want to hear from you guys if there's any gap in the questions I'm asking, because like I said, I want to be able to provide these episodes with the most amount of information possible. And I think I am doing that, or at least doing a good job at that. But I know there's sometimes there's holes in my own outlines that I make that I could miss out on. And maybe there's some stuff that you guys want to hear question wise as like a staple that I'm just simply not asking. But yeah, besides Dry Markin, I know I need some form of a Pituophis episode soon. I know I'm due for that. I definitely want to have a Boega episode, something along the lines of Boega. I don't know a ton about Boega. I think they're super cool animals. They look super cool, all that good stuff. So that's something I definitely want to do. I apologize, guys. I'm going to be taking water breaks through this because my voice is going to go quickly if I keep talking to myself. But yeah, overall, guys, you know, one thing I could say, I'm just always having fun with these episodes, and it's fun for me to be in my own creative outlet coming up with these questions, like, you know, these specific topics. And I think I've really tried to, you know, fit that breeder's niche, and also get some, like, you know, some of the general info at the same time, if that makes any sense. And yeah, Mike, I agree. I actually, you know, I'd love to hear more about, and we've had a couple people on who have been able to do that. And I've tried to, like, kind of press those questions of how things were like, you know, at the infancy of the reptile industry and where this became big. Cause, the 80s and 90s is real back there. And I know things started to explode, like really, really explode in the 2000s. But yeah, there's so much good info from the old days. People like, you know, I had John Lasseter on semi-recently. You know, he was there at the forefront of the hobby, and when a lot of those, you know, those Lampropeltists like originally came in and keeping those bloodlines pure and all that good stuff. Mike, I know you were around for a long time, and I asked you on the pod and you didn't want to. I'd love to hear your perspective as well. So my offer still stands. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I love hearing those stories of the olden days of the reptile hobby, of how it used to be, and not in this world of social media that we live in now, because obviously stuff is information, and, you know, so much information can be shared at such an easy medium, whether it's simply through Instagram posting or whether it's listening to podcasts like this. And I know podcasts, there were like a couple that existed early in the 2000s, and then NPR just hit year 13, which means they started in 2011, I believe, you know, and stuff like that. So those media outlets existed, but they've grown so much over the last, especially like the last 4 or 5 years. So yeah, I just think it's such a good thing for the hobby. You know, I could say one thing I'm super excited for in 2025 is Clubrid Fest. You know, I ranted and raved about it all year to you guys. I'm going to do it again as soon as those details come out. I'm going to be promoting it every episode. But genuinely, if you guys listen to this show, that means you also probably listen to CCR. And if you listen to the both of us, you should be there next year. And that's like without a doubt. And genuinely, you missed out being at the inaugural show in 2024. If you did not go, you missed out. And I don't think anyone will get to quite have the same experience as it was at this first show, because I think next year is just going to be so much bigger and better. But I'm very proud to say I was a part of the show from the ground up, like not setting it up and establishing it, but promoting it, being there and vending at the first show, I'm very proud to have been a part of that and meet all the people I did that weekend and hang out and talk to a lot of people. It was just so cool. And if you guys listen to the most recent CCR episode, you will know that it is officially confirmed that they're moving the show to, I believe it's Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is like a couple extra hours north of Indianapolis, at a much bigger convention center that's a lot more convenient to both vendors and attendees. As soon as Clint put that idea in the Facebook group, I thought it was a fantastic idea. I'm kind of unbiased. I'm not from the general area. I'm going to be driving one way or another, and I'm going to be attending. So that's kind of that. I didn't care about the location. I think this is going to be great one way or another. You know, there were some things that we talked about. If you listen to the CCR recap episode, you'll know there were some things that we didn't like when it came to the parking and the hotel situation and, yeah, and all that good stuff. One and a half, 2 hours closer to you, you're saying? That might be it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, from you. That makes sense. I just think, and hopefully it's an easier fly in. Obviously, there won't be a Colts game on that weekend to worry about. We on the Sunday during the show, we had a Colts game going on right next to the expo. So, you know, there was all that we were dealing with and all the logistics, but seems like this is going to be a much better situation. I think it's just going to be a fantastic show. The amount of vendors, the talks, I'm sure those are going to be great again. And just the overall vibe of hanging out with a bunch of Colubra nerds. I just think it's going to be so cool. Like I was kind of mentioning, I'm not sure how many animals I'll even be producing next year, Colubrid wise, but one way or another, I would like to have a table. And even if that table is just to bring a few Texas rats to show off, I might just do that, honestly, because I want to be a part of the show. It means a lot. No, they did not officially announce dates. They did say on the last episode that it is officially at the Fort Wayne location that they were looking at, but no dates as of yet. Still September, they said. So that's what we're looking at now. That's Colubrid Fest. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I mean, just personally, I've mentioned it a few times, but in 2025, I'm going to have a big life change, and that might throw off my entire season, which, if that's the case, so be it. I'm going to be moving back up to New York, moving in with my girlfriend, my beautiful, amazing girlfriend. That's going to be an interesting time, especially with the amount of animals I have, but don't fret, because I'm going to make it work somehow, and that's not going to stop what I'm doing here, what I'm doing with the animals. I'm going to make it work, and that's going to be that. Like I said, it might throw off my season with breeding and stuff, but so be it. If that happens, life happens. But besides maybe taking a weekend off or two when I'm physically moving, the show isn't going anywhere. I'm not stopping this. Obviously, it's going to be a big life change, and looking at all different things there. But this show is not going to stop. So you guys can trust on that. But might have a different scenery than my nice Florida lawn when I take reels and stuff for Instagram. Let's see. What else am I missing? I wanted to talk about some of the numbers with the podcast, because I thought it was quite interesting. So one thing I can say that I am just super happy about, and this is me just looking at numbers and doing simple addition, it seems to me that every episode of Kluber Corruption has gotten at minimum, and this is like a very, very low minimum, at minimum 250 views / listens per episode. And that is between YouTube and the podcasting platforms. And some of them much more so. Some of them are, you know, I'd say a grand majority are over 300. There's a couple at like 250. And, you know, as time goes on, I see more and more views and listens kind of trickle in on some of those episodes. But there's some like well into like 500 for sure. I think so far my most listened to episode is the episode, my first episode with Clint, like the solo episode. That did great numbers on YouTube, and I'm sure it got major podcasting platform listens as well. But that's just super cool, guys. Again, I'm so thankful that there are people listening to the show that like it and appreciate it for what it is. Whether or not you care about me or you're just coming to listen to the guests, you're listening to me one way or another. So I'm super appreciative of that. And if you are, I hope you're subscribed and I hope you keep listening to more episodes with great guests, because that's what I'm trying to do. But yeah, really cool to see that. And then another really cool thing to see is the show. So I can't see this on YouTube, or maybe I can, and maybe I didn't look the right way. Though I think on YouTube, it's probably not as accurate. But according to the RSS feed, which is how I upload the podcast, the audio platforms, the podcast is being listened to in 14 countries, which is cool. It's better than just the United States, which is fun. It's being listened to, and let's see, we have the US, let's see, Belgium, Canada, Costa Rica, Denmark, Germany, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, Singapore, South Africa, Sweden, Thailand, and the UK, which is cool. I'm not sure if the foreigners listening know English. Maybe they do. Obviously, the UK knows English. I'm sure South Africa does as well. But yeah, no, that's just super cool that people in other countries are listening. And I don't know if they're legit listens or not, but if there are people in those countries actually listening, and you're listening to this right now, thank you so much. Please reach out to me. I'd love to know that there are people actually, you know, genuinely listening to the show in other countries. I think that's super cool, especially if you know English to a decent degree, that you're able to at least understand or communicate in the slightest. That's just super cool. So I was taking a look at those numbers and I was like, wow. And I've been seeing it, the RSS, and I'm not going to pull it up because it makes my stream super laggy, but it shows you a nice interactive like map of where like the listeners are hovered. And obviously most of it is the United States, but it's cool to see the little red dots in other areas of the world. Obviously there are other areas of the world that are interested in these animals that we keep. And the United States is probably one of the most readily available places that has these species. So far, the only international episode I've done, which this was a fantastic episode, by the way, was with Mattia and Augusta at Kalubra Reptiles. Fantastic episode. They are in Belgium, but they're Italian. Maybe that's who listened in Belgium, or their friends, because that, you know, Belgium came up on the list a couple times. But yeah, just super cool. I really, if that's something I can do, is have foreign guests who could speak about what it's like in other countries. I'd love to do that a little bit more. I just simply don't know these people. I know a few of them follow me on Instagram. I'm not sure if they know about my podcast, but maybe that's something I have to reach out for as a potential future guest, because I love hearing about that stuff. I think it's so interesting to hear about, you know, what we do, but in other countries, because there's going to be differences. There are definitely some similarities, But definitely differences as well. So yeah, that's super cool. Let's see. All right. There's not a lot of chat interaction. If you guys have any questions for me or anything else you wanted to contribute to this, please feel free to do so. But I figured I'd go through my kind of outro questions that I usually give to guests, but I do them for myself because I don't get to ask myself these questions. So what I like to ask people is, what's a big motivator for what keeps me going with the reptiles? And this is a loaded question for me because I mean, there's so many things. It's really like my everything. I mean, these animals are my passion and have been for so many years. I mean, I've talked about this a million times, but I put years into working at that pet shop. I knew fish a lot better back then, but like I knew fish and reptiles behind my like the back of my hand. And I loved working at that store, and that's what really fostered my passion for wanting to keep more animals. Watching Brian Barczyk videos, the Snake Bites TV back when I was in high school and stuff, like when I was like 15 years old. That's what inspired me to do what I'm doing now, is being at the pet shop, watching Barczyk, just so awesome. And now it's really just, I love these animals. I love keeping them. I love interacting with them. I love feeding them. I love doing everything with them. But just what keeps me going is just like, I love being able to produce these animals and even being able to keep them. And if there's some species that I can't produce here, like if I can never figure out how to get rhinos breeding, I won't even care, man. I literally won't. I'll just be so happy to have them in my possession. And I mean that sincerely, though obviously breeding them would be a bigger bonus. I'd love to be able to do that. And hopefully that's coming in the next couple years. Hopefully I could work on that. But yeah. Adam, no questions, but just want to thank you for what you do. Yeah, man, I appreciate that. And that means a lot to me. Like I said, Adam's in the Patreon. I really appreciate his support. I appreciate everyone's support who's here during the live episodes and everyone who listens, afterwards. Like I said, whether you're vocal and you message me or you listen in silence and you don't interact at all, just know I really do appreciate every single one of you. So, yeah. And yes, thank Mike. Hit the like button for sure. My next question that I typically ask people at the end of the shows is, what does the future look like for you? Any species of the future, the next like 3 to 5 years or so? I can say right now, in terms of species of the future, and I won't say anything for the next 3 to 5 years, but at this current time, I am not looking to add any new species to my collection right now. Definitely not. No more snakes. I think what I should do, and I've had conversations with people about this, is I really want to lock down now the species I have, get them going, and then perhaps I can expand from there. But I need to try my hands, and I need to work hard with what I have and what I've built. And sure, I'll bring in more individuals of that specific species that I already have, but I don't foresee myself getting anything new quite yet. Otherwise, I'm just going to have a Noah's Ark collection, which I already have a few just random pairs of some snakes, the pair of Psilonotus. I have a pair of Cow Kings, a pair of Corns, a pair of, Volanti, a pair of Rhinos. But, so yeah, I just not in the mode to do that right now. I just want to keep working on and building what I'm building with the current species that I have. And I think that will satisfy me as of now, until something really flashy and pretty crosses my eye and I say to myself, I need to have it. But yeah, the last and final question that I typically ask people is, what would you say to someone who's looking to get into the respective species that we're talking about, or jump into a new colubrid species, and maybe they're brand new keepers, or maybe they've kept pythons and boas forever, you know, and they're looking to get into colubrids. And if I had to give an answer, it would probably be about Texas rats. So I'll give my Texas rat answer, but I'll give a general colubrid answer also. Texas rats, you get a nice dose of personality. They're super variable. They're super fun. They're active. Great eaters. Beautiful, beautiful animals. The amount of color variation you could get is just awesome. And yeah, that's a very basic answer for the Texas rats. But colubrids in general, there's something that you get with colubrids that you don't quite get with some other species of snake. You take the ball pythons, for example. And this is not a hate on ball pythons, because I have ball pythons. I breed ball pythons. They're boring animals. I get it. I keep them. They are generally boring animals. They will sit wrapped in a ball, and they're there. They have a lot of cool colors and patterns and mutations, and the most variable genetically when it comes to like actual mutations, they have the most out of anything we keep as reptile keepers. But there's things you miss out on if you only keep stuff like ball pythons. One, just a super active snake. You know, colubrids give you a real snake feel. Sometimes, you know, people call the ball pythons pet rocks, and sometimes it's kind of true. They'll sit wrapped in a ball in the same spot for like days. You know, I feed them. They become real active when there's food in the room. Trust me. Because these things love to eat. But the colubrids are just so much fun. Gives you a different feel. I know some people aren't about like the skinny little noodles, which I can kind of get, but there are plenty of colubrid species out there where you can get some size. You know, once you get them past that delicate baby snake phase, you can really unlock like a nice size, like a decent sized animal, you know? Even the Texas rats, you know, you could get those animals if you're feeding them really good. I bet you could get most Texas rats to like 6 foot and relatively thick around the body. Stuff like Kribos are a great example. You know, I was talking to Matt a few weeks ago about Mohlendorphii. That's another big species. Pines and bulls, those animals, you know, all your Pituophis, some of those get relatively big. Then you even have your, like, you know, your larger hobby Duran, Honduran milk snakes. You know, I've handled a 6 foot Honduran. Like, that animal's, it's a good size animal. And then, yeah, you have your corns, you have your, like, your Asian rat snakes. Some of those are a bit smaller, but you know, there's plenty out there for everyone. There's a colubrid. They're the most diverse group of snakes. I mean, there's, I think CCR has said it, there's like 1,900 total colubrid and colubroid species. That's crazy. Which leads me to believe there is 100% something for everyone. Something that will fit each respective person's needs, whether they're a big retic keeper or they keep sand boas. There's a colubrid for you that works. So my only challenge to you is to give it a shot, genuinely, because they're such cool animals, and you really, I can't imagine you regretting it. If you have, excuse me, a relatively inactive type python or boa, and I'm sorry, that's not to say like retics are not active, not intelligent, because they are very much so. Speaking more so on like the ball pythons, and stuff like that. I just think trying out new species is worth the try. And there's so much to learn That's the other thing is when you keep a new species, you get to learn a whole new range of things and behaviors and attitudes. I think that's really fun because like you keep a snake. I almost feel like within a few weeks, I could kind of read that snake. I know how that snake's going to act. I know how it's going to act when I'm going in with food. And you can get a really good read on it. And then if you, you know, you raise that baby into adulthood and sometimes their behaviors change a little bit, but you get to see that change, that progressive change as they get older. So, yeah. I don't think Keller wants to actually go on any podcast or he's worried about getting canceled. But I'd have Keller on. I'd like to hear about some venomous stuff. For sure. And then what he's keeping on normal colubrids. Cause like, I, not that I consider venomous colubrids, but like, I think venomous are like right there. They're like adjacent to the colubrid and colubroids. That I think it's a fine topic for this podcast. And I am more than okay with having on responsible venomous keepers and breeders on. I had, Stephen Cush, I had Paul, talk about some venomous stuff. I'm actually now remembering if me and Steven talked a lot about venomous, but I'm sure we did because he's got some cool stuff. Paul's got some great stuff, too. Adam, if space and cost was no concern, what new animals would you add to your collection? That is a fantastic question. A pair of Azanthic mandarins, for sure. And then on the space side, it would be like a pair of Mullendorfi. Definitely. Definitely. Those would be my choices. Yeah. There's something about the Azanthic mandarins. I found them dreamy for so long. And then the Mullendorfi, I haven't kept like a legit big snake. You know, I've talked about it. Back in New York, all like Python or New York City, pythons and boas are illegal to keep there. So I never really got to have a lot of hands-on experience with those animals. And that's why I never saw an interest in ball pythons till they really came here. But yeah, I'm good. I'll pass on like even, you know, your true red-tail boa constrictors, BCC, though I've said it, Suriname red tails are dreamy, for sure. But yeah, those are just not my thing. I'd take a big colubrid, and Mullendorfi would fit that. Also not as psycho as a dry Marken. I don't think I'm ready for that. Nor a king rat. I don't think those are my style. I think the Mullendorfi would satisfy my little niche a little bit better. My oldest rat snake, so I've talked about her before. Her name is Crash. She is the first snake I've ever got. She is still here. She is 13. She bred for me a couple times. But her growth is a little stunted. And I've been honest about that. I have no problem talking about that. I got that snake when I was 10 years old, you know, keeping it with, you know, my dad and learning everything. And we arguably just underfed that snake and she never reached her true size. She is actually quite thick for her size. Like she is a nice mature looking animal, but she is not long at all. So her growth is quite stunted. And I do feel bad about that, but she's healthy. She's doing good. She eats and she's just living out the rest of her years here in my collection. She's the OG. She's not going anywhere, until she dies. The biggest snake I've had, and I talked about this, I unfortunately lost that guy earlier this year, was my original scaleless Texas rat snake. He was a good like 5.5 feet. Yeah, maybe closer to 6. Even now, the scaleless leucistic girl, she's over 5 feet. She's a good size too, but not, like I said, she hasn't fully recovered, I feel like, from her clutch this year. So I'm trying to get her back on track. I'm actually feeding her rats to kind of get her up to size, back to a decent, comfortable weight. And I'm sure she'll continue to grow. And I'm sure I'm going to have more animals that will range in different sizes. And I was talking about this with Daniel Jarvis last week about Texas rats. Is if you're not power feeding, like truly power feeding, which I don't think I do with my animals, I don't see the need to, your Texas rats really won't hit that like 6 to 7 foot size they really have the potential for. I think 5 to 6 foot animals do more than fine. They're great. They're healthy. And I'm definitely going to incorporate rats every so often back into their diet, because I think they could use the extra size prey, but I like feeding my mice. It's just a bit easier. I'll give them bonus meals if I have to help them grow real well. But yeah, that's about it on that. I really haven't kept any monster snake, but in terms of age, yeah, my oldest is 13, which is really cool. And she's the OG. She's been through it all. But yeah, and the full Keller experience. My time works with you. All right, Keller, so maybe let's talk about it. Let's work something out and get you on a pod. I did used to feed them you could feed them small rats and they'll take it, no problem. I prefer pre-killed or frozen thawed on all that stuff. Anything bigger, really anything bigger than a pinky, I'd prefer it pre-killed, honestly, even like hoppers and stuff like that. I had one experience, and still with that OG Texas rat, I fed her a live mouse once, because at the pet store, I would get my animals live. I fed her a live mouse. She grabbed it the wrong way. The mouse bit her eye. And then her eye clouded up for a while. And then after a couple sheds, more than fine. They have the clear eyelid there, so that's like a protective barrier. So I guess it didn't get through that and get to the actual eye, because her eye is fine. It's like, you know, it's a good eye. After that, I swore I'm never feeding live to like my bigger colubrids. So yeah, I have no problem feeding like pinkies to colubrids. If I had to feed live pinkies to some stuff, I'd do it. One great thing is that Texas rats are great about taking frozen thawed right off tongs. So I haven't had a problem with that yet. But I know I'll run into that problem eventually, and I'll probably have to have a live mouse source, which I hope to have. But yeah. Yeah, live rodents are spooky. They'll tear a snake apart. Now the one species I don't care about feeding live to are the ball pythons, and that's simply because I don't want to mess with their pickiness. They could be tricky, so I'm just like, you started on live, you're eating live, you will continue to eat live. I do have to get rodents weekly for that, but my ball python collection has shrunk a bit, so I'm not, you know, breaking the bank feeding or even buying live rats weekly. It is what it is. It's a necessary evil of what I have to do. So that's that. But yeah. All right, guys. Well, it has been a very nice hour long little talk with you guys. I hope you enjoyed. I know this wasn't, you know, a big content filled episode. Obviously, I didn't have a guest here, but really, I just wanted to have a conversation with you guys, tell you all what was up, give you, you know, a little fresh monologue of my recap of 2024. Let me know how your year was. Leave a comment down below. Send me a message. Like I said before, give me your honest feedback about the show. Please tell me what you like. Tell me if there's stuff you don't like. I really want to hear it all. All I want to do is make this show better for you guys, for myself. And I hope the word of this podcast gets spread out to more people, because All I want to do is corrupt them to get into more colubrids. That's what it's all about. That's what this podcast came about for, and that's what I want to continue doing. So, once again, just want to say, everyone who listens, thank you so much. I really appreciate you all. You're all fantastic. Yeah, I know, Mike. You know, with the one host thing, I talked about this with Zach and Clint. You're getting a good hour and a half to sometimes 2 hours. I do have a couple of some episodes that go over 2 hours, but doesn't always happen, but it is what it is. I try to get as much info as I could possibly fill in the episode with the respective guests, but you know, I'll have guests back. I can say the first episode of 2025 is going to have a repeat guest, one of the first guests of the podcast. I'll say within the first 5 episodes. So take your guesses of who the guest will be. But thank you all so much. Once again, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button here on YouTube. Make sure you leave a 5-star review on your respective audio podcast platforms. And make sure you give me a follow on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook. Go check out Morph Market, Show Me Reptiles. Let's see. First link in the description goes to Patreon. Again, just another way to support me. Join a community of people who really love these animals. We shoot the shit. We talk a bunch. Talk about our collections and talk about the good things and the bad things. And, you know, I share more on there than I probably do, like, you know, just on regular social media, but I enjoy talking to you guys in this form as well. But I hope you all enjoyed. Thank you so much. 2024 was a fantastic year, and I can't wait to bring it back, run it back for a full year of 2025, hopefully closer to 52 episodes this year. But yeah, guys, let's bring it back. Let's have a great end to the year. Couple more days here. And I can't wait to see what's in store for 2025. Thank you, Keller, for the last second comment there. But yeah, guys, this has been episode number 49 of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast. This was the 2024 recap, a full year of corruption. I hope you all enjoyed. Thank you so, so much for all of your support. And I will see you guys on the next one. Peace.